The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to talk to you again, and the Lord's given us another wonderful day that we can serve Him. And as we look out, we see the sun shining, and we see the snow out there, and we've had some really cold weather, but whatever it is, the Bible says it shall pass, and so we're glad that the Lord is alive and well, and He's still on His throne, and He doesn't have any problem. He knows what He's doing, and He's going to work everything out. But this program is about where is God's Word, and so we're talking about, for the next number of weeks, passages in the Scripture that deal with the Bible and the words of the Lord. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And God, by His almighty power, said that He would keep those words. And so He has done that. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 14, it's a very famous passage dealing with the church of Laodicea. We're going to talk about that in relationship to the word of God. And it starts out in Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And we'll start by working on this verse, and it's to the church of the Laodiceans. And interestingly enough, that Laodicea means the rule of the people. And when we look today in our country, we believe in or our country stands on the rule of the people. But when it comes to a church, it should not be the rule of the people, but the rule of Jesus Christ. The church is Jesus' church, and He is to be the Lord and Savior of that church. And that's one of the problems that we have today, and that is the people rule. It's there, many churches today, it has the name of Christ on it, and it has possibly a good name. But the doctrine is from people, is from man. The teaching is from man. The ideas are from men. The church is run by men. And Jesus is sort of outside, or He is outside that church. It's not based on Him. And so the church is to be based on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to be Lord. That is, He's the boss. He's to be in charge because He is Almighty God. Now, it says here, these things saith the Amen, and it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Amen means that it is true, and when somebody says Amen in church, that means what you're saying is true. Now, Jesus is the Amen. He is the final authority on everything that is in this universe, and He is to be the final authority in our life. He is to be the final authority in the church. The question is, what is His desire? What does He say about it? Now, in the New Testament, the church, notice that these letters were written to the churches. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The church is not a man-made institution. It is set up by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a place where the gospel is to be preached, where Christians are to be built up in a place of fellowship for Christians with one another and with the Lord. And in that church, He is the Amen. That is, He is the final authority. And how is Jesus' authority shown? Now, some people think whatever their conscience thinks or whatever they think is right, that is the authority of God. But his authority is in the Word of God. That's how Jesus' authority is. And so we are to follow the Bible as the final and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's called, first of all, the Amen. That is, he's supposed to be in charge of the church. And then, secondly, he is the faithful and true witness. Now, the Lord Jesus said that thy word is true. And the words in the Bible are the words of Jesus Christ. Some people think that just the words that are written in red are the words of Jesus. And those are the direct quotes of Jesus. But he is the author of the Bible. And he said that if you reject him and his words, he always puts his words with him. Jesus Christ dwells in us by his words dwelling in us. And so right here in this chapter, it says that he is the true witness. He witnesses to us through his words. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he is faithful. Now, some people teach today that they believe only the originals are the Word of God, and they say it only the originals are inspired. And yet in Timothy it says, from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Timothy had inspired Scripture. The inspiration didn't stop with the original writers. And I don't mean there's any new words, any new teaching, any new doctrine, but it's the inspiration is the life of God. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And God said he'd preserve it, and the life of God is in those words. So he is faithful in keeping those words. And so they the teaching is in school and seminaries today that you can only trust in the originals, but nobody, of course, has the originals. That means that the professor in the school becomes the authority. And we are to believe, however, that God would preserve his words and that we have a Bible that we can trust in. And if you've listened to this program, you know which one we're talking about, and that is the authorized King James Bible. It's the King Jesus Bible in reality. Now, it says he is the beginning of the creation of God. I was looking at this verse one time in some commentaries, and they were page after page trying to explain it because, of course, they believe Jesus is the true God and eternal life. He always was and always will be, and that is the truth. But if you compare Scripture with Scripture, when it says he's the beginning of the creation of God, you look into Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 and compare it with Colossians 1:18. And it's talking about the resurrection of Christ, and he came out of the tomb with a supernatural new body. He had a body that went in there, but it was a recreated body. It was turned into a supernatural body. And the Bible says that we are predestinated to conform to the image of his dear son. We're going to have a body like Jesus. And so when he came out from the dead, he was the beginning of God's new creation, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, he says here to this church, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now, he says, you're not either cold or hot. You know, one of the towns nearby there, they had a piping system that brought in cold water. Another town had a piping system that brought in hot water. But Laodicea had to pipe the water in, and it was lukewarm. And lukewarm water doesn't taste very good. And Jesus said about them, they're neither cold nor hot. And, you know, I believe today that there are many people in that condition. And when I was studying this to teach this today, I was thinking about myself. And I'm not going to give a confession about myself, but, I mean, I apply it to myself also, and it is convicting. And it says about their works. You know, when you go to work, you have to pick a time to go to work. If you're going to keep your job, you have to do some things you don't like, and you have to spend time at this. And it says about their works, they're not cold or hot. And today, as Christians, we can talk about the Lord, and we can say good things. But are we really working for the Lord? Are we involved in the amount of time that we spend? Do we have a time that we work for the Lord? And the Lord says here, they're not cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, the Bible doesn't say that we are in his mouth. The Bible says that we are in his hands. Jesus said that. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man should pluck them out of my hand. If you're a man, then nothing can pluck them out of the Lord's hand. But the church would be spewed out. And that is, the church would no longer be effective because they wouldn't be cold or hot. I see sometimes even at lunch, you go in a restaurant and you see, sometimes you can tell there's Christians there and there's unsaved people there. And I wonder, how many times have those Christians ever told their unsaved friends how to be saved? Imagine that. When they die and they go to hell and they spend eternity without God because you that are supposed to be their friend, you won't even tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're enthused about the Lord when you go to church, possibly, but not enough to talk about Jesus and tell your friends about him. And everybody has to judge for themselves. I'm not your judge, and I'm not condemning anybody. But we have to ask ourselves, are we hot for the Lord? Are we excited about him? Do we want to talk to people about him? And then Jesus goes on, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I saw one church when I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that church cost many, many millions of dollars. And I thought probably over $20 million. And I was thinking that money could have gone to give literature to everybody in Mexico. Should we be spending so much money on ourselves and even on our churches, or should we be, you know, spending more time and more money on getting out the gospel? So they said, I am rich. And the people in Laodicea were very rich people. It was a very wealthy town. They had an earthquake in that town in 61 AD, and a lot of buildings collapsed, and the Roman governor was going to help them rebuild, and they said, we don't need the money. And so the people in town rebuilt the town with the money they had because they were wealthy. And so this church says, I'm rich and increased with goods. Now, their standard of being right with God was based on a worldly standard. That is, they figured that they were blessed of God and they were right with God because they had the money. That's a worldly standard. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he says the birds have the nests and the foxes have their holes, and a man hath not where to lay his head. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That's not a worldly standard. And our standard should not be based on God's approval, based on the standard of the world. The world says you're successful if you got a lot of money. It says, I have need of nothing. Now they said, we don't need anything. Somebody has said, well, I wonder if anything would be different if Jesus didn't show up at the church. If his spirit wasn't there, could you go on? And I'm afraid with a lot of churches, it's like that. They don't have a need of anything. And knowest thou not? And here's the position of Christ on this particular church, that thou art wretched and miserable. You know, some churches, people, instead of loving one another, there's people all around that need some spiritual love, spiritual help, spiritual need, maybe even physical need. And people are totally blind to this. They got their friends, and that's all that they pay attention to. And from God's sight, God says, love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. They may think they're doing well, but in God's sight, they're wretched. And it says, and miserable. Now, this isn't a feel-good message that is given here. And they don't have the joy of the Lord. They don't have the peace of God that passeth understanding. They have everything physically, but spiritually they're miserable. They are missing out on the blessings of God and poor. And they think they're wealthy, but spiritually they're poor. they're not fellowshipping with the Lord. And God has made us for fellowship with himself and blind and naked. You know, that gets to the point. People are using, in so many of our churches, they're wealthy, they're educated, they have everything, but they are using a Bible that is a counterfeit and has kicked out Jesus in 100 places in the New Testament. Spiritual blindness. They profess that they believe Jesus is God, they believe in the Trinity, and then they use a Bible that denies it. You know, you use those kind of Bibles, and you're going to have a generation that comes up, and they're not even going to believe that Jesus is God. The Bible that we have, the Authorized King James Bible, it goes right back to the apostles. The Greek text, it's over 99% of the manuscripts, goes right back to the apostles of Christ. And we can demonstrate this. We could quote the early church fathers. We could see some of the readings that are read in some of the churches that these lectionaries, they go right back to the time of the apostles. There's about 2,000 of them that are special readings that are given at different times of the year. And these 2,000, every one of them backs the Authorized King James Bible and goes right back to the apostles of Jesus Christ. But these churches, somebody says, the scholars say, and they are so blind that just because somebody told them the scholars say or somebody, it doesn't even mean anything to them. And you talk to them about it, and they don't investigate. You know, you don't have to believe what I said, but you ought to investigate. And I tried to do that when this issue came up, and I realized for the first time, hey, these scripture verses are not an updating of the King James. They're a counterfeit Bible put out by Westcott and Hort. And they got their two manuscripts, basically, that they use. The two disagree with each other in 3,000 places, and they were put out by Constantine. And you say, well, at the Council of Nicaea, Constantine stood for the deity of Christ in the Council in 325. Yes, but the fellow that he had banished for being an Arian and taught that Jesus was a created being, he brought him back, and he became Constantine's pastor and baptized him. So he went to a church that believed that Jesus was a created being, just like the Jehovah's Witness. And if I have a list of verses, and you could buy a Jehovah's Witness or Bible, and the New ASV and NIV basically agree with that. You say, that's not so. Did you ever check out? And so it says here, they're blind. You're going to find out at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're a pastor and you're promoting that stuff, something is wrong there. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you ought to check it out, because the Bible says God's word is true. And the Lord is very concerned that his very words that we have his very words. And naked. Now it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. We're going to take just a short break, and then we'll come back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
I haven't announced this for a short time, but the announcer has been announcing, and you can either get it through the announcer, email, or whatever. But we have 100, we have papers with 100 places where the names of Jesus are taken out of the modern versions. And we will send this to you if you would like it. And you can call in right now. I have two letters right now that I'm going to mail out as soon as the program is over with. And it has the names of some people that I haven't mailed to for a while. I'm going to mail this information out. And it'll show the 100 places. And it gives the exact reference so you can check it with your Bible. Now, these places are in the Authorized King James Bible. And so we invite you to get this. Now, I also have books on this subject. In most evangelical colleges, there's somebody in there, although the Greek teachers are teaching a lie when it comes to the text. There's usually people that have graduated from these schools that have studied this issue, and they really know what they're talking about, and there are many books coming out that are backing what I'm saying here today. And I try to read both sides for the last 30 years. I have a large library, but I'll give you the address of some of these books if you would like to call us at the end of the program. And you ought to get these books, read them, and give them to your pastors so they can read them. Because it's just amazing what is going on here today, that you could kick out Jesus outside, put him outside the church. And, you know, Jesus connects himself with his words. When you reject his words, you reject him. And so in this chapter that we have been studying, Jesus is outside the church. And so anyway, we'll mail you these, and our number is 901-0933, 901-0933. I know sometimes I hear something on the radio, and I want to get it, and I don't have a pen right there, but we'll give you time to get a pen. 901-0933 and 677-9673, 888-677-9673. That's the long-distance number. Now, if you'd like to have this or you would like to get some books, we will give you the address, and you can get the books from me, and we'll mail these books to you. And you ought to read this. This is the most important issue there is the words of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll get back to this chapter in the last few minutes that we have. And God says, Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And your faith is like gold tried in the fire. We ought to have the right kind of faith, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. Now, in other words, they're blind. They don't know they're blind, but they're blind. And people that are using these corrupt Bibles, they're spiritually blind. That's why we got this program. And we just want you to investigate for yourself. They are not the same as the Authorized Bible. They don't come from the same text. They come from what is called the Alexandrian text. And Jesus is saying, you need to anoint your eyes with eye salve. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so we need to repent of lukewarmness, and we need to be right with the Lord and have fellowship with him. And we need to start by getting God's word, not taught. Repentance and faith for salvation for the last 1900 years have used back to the apostles. And they've had these Bibles in many different languages, but they had the true text. And it says here that he stands at the door and knocks, and if you let him in, you'll have fellowship with him. God wants to fellowship with you, and the first way we come in fellowship is to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, repent of our sins, receive him, accept him, and then spend time in his word and time in his prayer and wait for him to speak to our hearts through his word and through prayer. Well, you have a wonderful day, and God bless you. Our number is 901-0933. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600.
or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.